Here's what I wanted to share this morning, and I might just have to just like read through my notes really quick. Does it really matter what you bring to the party? That's a good question, huh? I'm going to talk about that. What party? Oh, wait. Maybe you got to be invited to the party to bring something to the party. So does it matter whether or not you're even invited to the party? Hey, you guys with me this morning? Oh, okay. Maybe how do we get people involved in this? I know, I'll share a story. I'm going to tell you something that happened with me this week. And it has to do with what I'm going to be talking about. And the party I'm talking about isn't the party that is like of this world. It's a glorious party that I want us to get involved in, I believe, as the body of Christ. As Christians, if you're a believer in Jesus, you're a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus. You're a disciple of Jesus. However you want to label yourself, you are of Christ. Christ is in you, who is the hope of glory in your life and for the world. Actually, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your sisters, your brothers, those people that are in your life, around your life, you are the hope of their glory. You are the hope for their lives because Christ is in you. Whoo, man, it's going. Hallelujah. I should keep to my notes if we want to get through this. I was going about my business throughout this week. One day during the weekend, I was actually by myself for a moment there, which is a little more rare. I got Cordell, I got Matt, and I got these awesome men of God that are they're helping me out on a regular basis, and it's a lot of fun. It's enjoyable. We talk about the Lord. We talk about things of the Lord. We get to experience the things of the Lord and doing the Lord's work in what we're doing, and it's a blast. And of course, it's work. It is work, and that's why I kind of need help a lot of times. And so this time, this part of the day, I was actually by myself, and I was stopping at a home to do a pickup, to pick up some stuff. And in the midst of this stop, actually, it was from one stop to another, I was listening to a message, and it was this here's what happened. I heard a word from within this message, and the word was simply this, is that now that I am and we are a part of God's kingdom, and we have Jesus as king, everywhere we go, kingdom work comes with us, goes with us. So everything I do is a part of kingdom work. And as that message was like as I was like dwelling on that, and that was like, wow, that's so awesome. And I know that I teach that, but it was this moment in time where God the Holy Spirit just completely engulfed me, however you want to say it, filled me up, took over, or I was baptized in the Spirit. You could say anything, however we want to describe it. I don't know whatever Christianese term you want to use to make that fit, but that's what happened. And it was this, there was an emotion, there was a connection, there was this, like, I felt God, I sensed God, I was listening to God, and I was shaking even as I was getting out of my truck. And then the whole time I'm doing work, I'm doing stuff, and stuff's got to be done. And so I'm doing, and I'm shaking. I'm like, oh, and I'm thinking, and I started making funny noises like that too. I don't know, you guys make funny noises when God, yeah, I do. It's like, oh, and I'm like, oh, this is, I don't know what's going to happen here. And I'm thinking, is it this, what's going on with this house that I just pulled up to? This house is like anointed or something. And I'm like, and so I'm like, oh, great. So I open up the back of my truck. I'm like excited about what's going to happen next. And knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and the door opens up, and it wasn't the house. You know what? You hear what I'm saying? It like was like, oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Anyway, you know, I'm like, this is awesome. And as I got finished and did that, and it was like, okay. And the Lord really just spoke to me, and He said, what I just told you is what I just did for you and in you. And you experienced that. You now were able to, I showed you by experience what you know to be true, that wherever you go, the kingdom of God goes with you. My presence, the kingdom of God is within you. My presence goes in you and with you. You preached on it, Eric. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Glory is a good thing, and the glory of God is something that is amazing. amazing. And so I just went there, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is so awesome. So I want us to just talk about what the glory of God is, because when we say that term, how many of you like completely, you get that? You get the glory of God, you understand what it is? Or how many of us, like the rest of us, like, that's a term, and I just don't really understand it, and I don't really know it. I can't relate to it, because it doesn't resonate as something tangible to me. You guys hear me on that? So listen to what I believe what God wants to do in his people, you and me, in this in dealing with the glory of God. So here's the thing is, you know, we breathe in air, correct? Freely. We breathe in air without even thinking about it. Without even, it becomes it's a natural part of how God designed us to live. But there's this other thing we do is we exhale the air that is from within. So here's a lie that I need us to identify. Because if we don't identify it, we will very subtly buy into it. Is that I can live as unto myself. So therefore, I can come to these conclusions of trying to self-identify myself. And because I can live as unto myself. In other words, I can go throughout my day, as long as I do my thing and I don't break any laws and hurt anybody, then I can do things in my life that don't have an impact on other people. And that's a lie. That's a lie, because the truth is that wherever we go, whatever room we step in, whatever house we go by, whatever church building we come, whatever grocery store we shop at, whatever car that we drive in, and wherever we walk and place our feet, that is the place where the Spirit of God goes with us. If Christ is in me, God in me doesn't leave when I leave this room. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Amen.
Hello? Okay. So here's what we are faced with this morning, and I'm going to just get right to the nitty-gritty part of it, is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Oh, this is good. I'm going to read a few verses around it. Verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And so let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house," listen to this, "in a great house there are not only vessels of gold or silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. So therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." You hear what he's saying there? He's saying that our lives have the awesome privilege and opportunity to bring glory to God and be a vessel for honor. We choose to be a vessel for honor, or we choose to be a vessel for dishonor. That wording in there is precise, and that's why he backs it up before it and behind it, is there, therefore we must cleanse ourselves from iniquity and put on ourselves the purity of what Christ has in us and for us, and he has this calling on our lives to live holy and rightly, prepared for the master, so that the master can use us. You guys with me?
Amen.
Where's the question? Oh, yes. Hi.
Does that mean I'm a sanctified porcelain vessel?
In other words, what Glenn's saying is sometimes it's important for us to understand that the wording that we use is identifying the doctrine that we believe. You know, when we say the phrase, "I'm a sinner saved by grace," is what you're declaring is the same thing that Matt's come to a conclusion that he cannot declare. He cannot get up and say, "I'm an alcoholic." Because in that phrase, it's putting on himself this declaration and putting on himself this cloak, if you will, of "I am now this." And what he said, what the proper phrasing is, "I'm a saint who sins." You know, but the sanctifying work that God's doing, and I like what he came up with, which is really good. He didn't really come up with, God gave it to him. Which is that I am powerless over alcohol. Just as any one of us are in ourselves, any one of us and all of us, that means every single one of us, there is nobody that is excluded from this, is that any one of us in ourselves are powerless over sin. Amen. 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 All of us and any of us are all powerless over sin. All of us. It's the truth. It's the truth. Let me tell you this. This is this passage of scripture. Woo, doggy. It makes me giggle too. Because as I study this and read this, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is saying. It's Jeremiah chapter 13. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 13. This is amazing. For as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory, but they would not hear me. You hear what he's saying there? Let me reiterate in Eric's words, okay? God is saying, what I have made Israel, I have made Israel my loincloth. You know what a loincloth is? Okay, I'm going to explain it to you for a second. A loincloth is one piece of material that covers the loins of a man. That's it. That's his only form of cover or dress. Typically, nowadays, men wear them in hot areas of the world. But he refers to his people, Israel, as a loincloth. And he's caused them to cover his genitals, his loins, and you are his covering. That's kind of strange. That sounds like Jeremiah talk. There, Jeremiah was strange too, but this is a little strange, but he's saying that this is it. And I've caused my people to cling to me, to need me. I have caused my people to be in need of me. For what purpose? For what purpose? That the world that is in darkness may see and glorify God as my people. As you need Jesus. You ever heard the phrase, the term, like, well, you know, I feel like I just don't deserve it because I'm just not worthy anymore. I just don't deserve God to bless me. I don't deserve for God to come in and help me out. How many of you ever thought that, heard that, said that at all? Come on, guys. Do you know what? That is a bald-faced lie. Because you know what the truth is? You know what the truth is? Is that that's the exact place and time in your life, in my life, that God is saying, I want to come in. Because if you deserved me, then you wouldn't need me. But because you don't deserve me, that's the best opportunity for me to come in because you need me. And for me to be glorified in your life. Because you can't do this on your own. That's exactly what he's talking about when Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Right? You guys with me? I'm going to translate that into today's language of what the church is when he's saying this is, because he says this last phrase, and he says, but my people would not hear me. See, any time that we replace our need for God and we fill it with something else, we put earplugs in your ear. You ever try to do this? I sound really goofy right now. I don't sound like me. We put earplugs in our ears and we don't hear God. We don't hear God because we have placed something else as our stability, as our provision, as our comfort. And we've replaced that. And he says, that is not a good thing. Because what he's dealing with here in Jeremiah's case here, and he goes on, if you go on to read that, in chapter 13, verses 15 through all the way to the end of the chapter, it's pretty dynamic and fantastic, because verse 16 says, I like how he just says, it says, give glory to the Lord, your God, before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble on the dark mountain. Turn away from doing things on your own and give glory to God before he allows you to continue on your path of darkness and stumbling. Hello? I believe at every juncture he gives us an opportunity to bring God into the situation, bring God into it, and give God the glory, or take it on ourselves and do our own business. Every situation. So that's why I'm saying that this is every time that I place, every time that I understand and realize and I allow God, as the kingdom of God is within me and Christ is in me, the hope of glory, I give him and I bring him into the situation. Do you know what I actually am doing? I'm bringing God in to do what God does. Gosh, just listen to that for a second. When I bring God in, he's able to do what God does in any and every situation. Wow, I'm just seeing this so clear right now, that God's love and his godness for you and I is so real, and it's so right at the as close as you just reach out and grab him. He's so real and so transcendent, but also he's very tangible in your situation. And your situation, I know, is difficult. And I'm going across the board scanning the room, and I know that every one of us have got difficult and trying situations. And we've got difficult things in our lives, from relationships with people to financial issues to job issues to things that are big. God is able and capable and willing to come in when we invite him in and allow him in. And he gets glory and he's glorified in it. It's as simple as this, a simple phrase. Bring God in and give him the ability to release his glory into your life. You give him the opportunity to release his glory into your life and into your situation. You guys hear me? Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep waters the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy." We've got to understand this. Our hearts to be swelled up with joy. Oh, I need a swelling in my heart with joy today. I need his strength of joy in my life today. And I don't know if any of you are willing to participate in the swelling of the heart, but here's what he's saying in this, and I want us to come to this. Our part is simply this: arise and shine. Wake up and shine. Arise and shine. And then God comes in and he does the rest. He it's like an infusion of his glory and his goodness and his power. In Hebrews chapter 6, he talks about the elementary teachings that we should all understand by now. And we should all be able to even teach others. And one of those elementary teachings that we should all understand and be able to teach others, and we should be living out and getting, is the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is so powerful, and understanding that this is it. It's simply this. It's a transferring of God's power. It's God using you to instill within your environment, the people in your midst, God's power and his grace and his glory into people's lives. And that's so real. That's so tangible to me. It's so real and tangible. I get it. I get it so heavily that as I go throughout my day and I go throughout my... And my day consists of work just like your day. I don't sit around and read my Bible all day long and pray on my knees all day long. That, like, you know, I'm not saying that's what all pastors do, but I got to tell you, I don't get to do that. And not that I would even want to do that. But I get the privilege and the... and the opportunity to be in people's lives and around people's lives. You know what my favorite phrase is to say? And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but it is, and it's not a light phrase to me. And it's this phrase that this is very real to me. Bless you. Bless you. And it's not because you sneezed. In fact, to me, that's almost a little bit like, to me, that weakens the power of what it actually is. Because when I say bless you, may the Lord bless you. There's so much in that. I believe it to be absolutely, I believe it to be true that I can touch you and God's power transfers from me to you. Not because I'm more powerful than you. That's arrogance to the core. But it's when I get that it's Christ in me that has the power in me to transfer to you. It has nothing to do with me. I don't know if you realize this and I'm realizing this, but it all comes down to the glory of God anymore. It just all comes down to God's glory. It all is summed up in the glory of God. Here's the thing. You ever hear that? Oh, is that a Stephenism? Here's the thing. If the thing isn't give God glory, for God to be glorified in me, then it's my thing, and we need to must, however that come out, we need to must repent. How about that? Yes.
I had a little thing happen yesterday. I was at Walmart and checked in. Someone else had a hiccup this week. They just had a hiccup, just like you had a hiccup. Anyway, and I said, since I've done everything to try to get rid of the hiccup, and I said, did you ask Jesus to get rid of them? And she said, well, no. I said, well, ask him.
Amen. Here's what I'm envisioning as we go through this and what this looks like and how does this apply to my life on every day and a regular basis is that there's this very pertinent reality, if you will, that everything we do is an expression of who we are. And if who we are is Christ in me, if I'm a disciple of Jesus, that everything I do must be, God must be brought into it all. We don't have this right to now all of a sudden say, well, yeah, that's me being a Christian at church or me being a Christian on Sunday or me being a Christian over here. And then now I'm going to go through and do my work and I'm going to, you know, do my stuff and do, you know, my stuff over here. That isn't that. In fact, that's so offensive to God. It's so disgusting to God. It's repulsive to him that you think that you can be a Christian here and not everywhere. When we think that, he says, you must repent, you must stop, and you must take me everywhere. You must take me everywhere, even the places that you want to keep hidden and dark. Let me in. Because when we make it my thing, when we make anything my thing, we're saying, God, don't touch it. But here's what God's saying this morning. Let God, the King of Glory, come into everything. And let God, the King of Glory, do what the King of Glory does. He does glorious things in our lives. If you're willing, he will do them. He is able and willing to be glorious in the midst of your life. To where you have now, as you arise and shine, he says, watch what I will do. I mean, it's almost as though he's saying, here's an open invitation for me to just do miraculous things right in your midst. And it's not about you. It's about me. It's about me. I want to read this passage. It's Romans 3:23. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation because listen to this. I'm going to read it all the way to the end of the chapter. It says, for everyone has sinned. We also have heard it being pronounced as this or spoken as this. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory or of the glorious standard. For all have sinned and fall short of what? God's glory. God's glory. Do you guys realize this? Oh, okay. I'm going to just read it. And then I got this last little thing that God wants to, because I almost jumped ahead and skipped it. And says, listen to this. For everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! When he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. Now it's our past. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be made right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. After all, is God the God of Jews only? Isn't he also the God of Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well then, listen to this. If we emphasize faith, does that mean that we get to forget about the law and call it grace? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. And God is glorified in your life and my life when we give him permission to have it all. Hello. Amen. 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 And it's in faith, through faith, that we do that. We don't have any permission any longer to just say, well, grace, and just let me do my own thing. That is hypocrisy. And it's hypocrisy that is lukewarm, and he's going to spit you out. He doesn't like it. You're looking like everybody else. Listen to this. This is great. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, I mean, I'm serious. This is, I'm throw everything out. The Holy Spirit spoke this in the midst of this morning, and I typed it down as fast as I could. Here's the deal. The thing. All have been created. We've all been created, we've been made, and we've been formed in the image of God to be image bearers. An image is a likeness of the original. Did you hear that? An image, he said, let us make man in our image. And he formed them from the dust. In our image, an image of God is in a likeness of the original. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? Woo, just pop. We've all been made in his image to be image bearers, glorious like God, glorious like God. But sin has snuffed out our glory, but not God's glory. The image was snuffed out, the glory was snuffed out of the image, not the original. Jesus comes in. Jesus comes in. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And he snuffs out sin. Amen. Oh, did you hear that? He snuffed the sin out of my life. He did away with it. He crucified it on the cross. Why am I giving it power any longer? Why? 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 There's no reason. There's not a good reason. Right? None of you can come up with a good reason, could you? I still can't. Unless I just want to keep doing sin, then I guess that's a good reason. Not too smart, but it's a good one. No, it's not. It's not a good one. Christ in me, he's snuffed out sin so that we can and do once again bear the image of God who is full of glory. Amen. You realize that's what he's saying? That's what Romans 3:23, that whole chapter of Romans 3 is saying. You now, by the power of Christ in you, have the power to bear my image who is full of glory. Amen. Wow. Wow. Listen to this last little, and this is based on a passage of scripture in Isaiah 43, Isaiah 48, Isaiah 51 say these words. And they all say it a little bit different. So go and read those. They're really good. He says this. He says, I am God. I, even I, am God who saves you, who comforts you, who prospers you, who upholds you. Who are you to fear, to worry, or to attempt to promote yourself? Oh, yeah, I need to sit down for that one because that was really heavy. I don't know if you understand what he's saying in that, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us what he's really referring to in that. When we make an attempt to promote myself, when I become afraid of what can happen, might happen, when I worry about what I don't have or what's going to be ahead of me, I'm placing myself in the place of Godhead. It's simply called idolatry. The Holy Spirit spoke this really, really, really powerful and potent in my spirit this morning. I am God who saves you, comforts you, and prospers you, and upholds you. Who are you to fear or to worry or attempt to promote yourself? Give me glory by trusting me, by resting in me, and by promoting me in all things. And watch what I am able and willing to do through you, my people, who make me, Jesus, Lord of your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, we just simply come to you. We just simply surrender to you. We bow our knees to you. We submit to you. We make you Lord of our lives. And in anything and all things, I repent of promoting myself. I repent of worrying about anything in this life and in this world. And I repent of being afraid of anything that any man or organization can do. Because you, even you, are God who saves us, who comforts us, who comforts me, and who upholds me. You, even you. And we repent. We humble ourselves. We humble ourselves and ask you. And just simply permit you and ask you to come in and do what you do, God. Come into my life and do what you do. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Amen.